traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
We are now joined by New York City's longest-serving police commissioner in the history of police commissioners and New York, Ray Kelly, happens to be related to me, some distant relation. Ray Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am, Greg Kelly. Good to be with you, pal.
All right. And he is my father, everybody. Hey, you had a special weekend. You took my daughter, your granddaughter, to the Museum of Natural History. What was that like?
She is amazing. She is so smart. She's learning every day. You know, she has a huge vocabulary. I'm just, Veronica and I are just so impressed with her. We love to have her here, although she is a piece of work. You know, she has tremendous energy and never slowing down. And, we have to stay in shape to keep up with her.
Well, she's 2.5 years old. 2.5 years old. And we left her with you for most of Saturday because Judith and I needed the day off. You're right about that. She is a piece of work, a lot of energy, and pretty headstrong. But we are so amazed. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this because, quite frankly, I got to call Judith about it. I saw over the weekend, you know, it pops up on your phone, a bunch of different individuals, criminals, randomly attacking people in Manhattan, actually walking down the street. Some guy, you know, punches a woman. Some guy stabs somebody. Some guy punches another woman. These are different attacks all over the place. You know, I was staying off the subway, and this is really concerning to me. It's happening on the street, and it seems like it's happening primarily to women. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's very disturbing, no question about it. I've seen a lot of these videos, and obviously things have changed in New York. I don't remember this type of violence before. It used to be something with fraternities and things that would try to do like a knockout punch, that sort of stuff, but it's a while ago. So you have to be extremely vigilant these days on the streets of New York, certainly at night, but in daylight as well. I think a lot of it has to do with emotionally disturbed people. We don't have an adequate program in New York City to handle that problem. I don't know if we ever will. So, but it is a actual phenomena that is happening, and you just have to be so aware of your surroundings these days. And as you say, on the subway, one crime on the subway is compounded because, you know, makes it into the newspaper, and people feel trapped in that environment. You know, you get stuck on a subway, you're stuck in a tunnel, or whatever. You know, you're apprehensive these days, and people are always talking to me about it. So, that's one of the many problems we have in New York is this random violence. It's quite upsetting.
How do we get here? I mean, look, you, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Bloomberg. We kind of knew how to do all this stuff. The city in December of 2013, your last month in office, was safe, was peaceful. We had racial harmony. The NYPD was popular across all demographics, whites, blacks, Hispanics. You were popular across all demographics, whites, blacks, Hispanics. And now it's a totally different city. It's a totally different world. I know it's an overly broad question, but I mean, what happened? We were doing so well, and now we're doing so poorly. What happened?
I think you have to look to the 8 years of Bill de Blasio. He destroyed the city, and I think he did it intentionally. He's a Marxist. He has a philosophy of sort of having chaos. And you look at, what was even being taught in the police academy those days. Some of the issues of, backing off. If you remember, in his administration, we saw cops with water poured over their head. and they did nothing about it, which was reprehensible. Those cops should have been at least disciplined or fired. What about you and I, now ordinary citizens walking down the street? So de Blasio did so many things, and after the death of George Floyd, obviously he, I think, compounded the problem. He certainly didn't support the police. And, we had 450 cops injured, on whatever it was, May 27th, May 28th, after the death of George Floyd. And, he certainly wasn't supportive. And he was never supportive of the party. He was an enemy of this department, an enemy of law and order, quite frankly. And I think that's his legacy. We're struggling with his legacy. The city is a very big ship to turn around. It's going to take a lot of time to get out of where we are, if we ever do.
I never thought of it that way. The cops being doused with water, and I think that was in the summer of 2016, and they just took it. It's interesting. Now it's come to, if they can just do it to cops, what can they do to regular people? These cops were armed. They were in uniform, and they were being abused. What about regular people? And now we've seen what happens when there's no reaction, there's no law enforcement. Hey, I have to play this, if you don't mind. This is from a congressman in Brooklyn, Hakeem Jeffries. He's a New Yorker. He's in Congress. They say he could be speaker someday. And here he is, all the things that are going on in the world, what he says is the number one threat to America. Cut 26, please. Cut 26. Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat.
The threat right now in this country to the American people are extreme MAGA Republicans. That's the threat. That's the problem. That's the crisis that we confront.
This is, believe it or not, this is not a freak point of view. There are a lot of folks out there who say this. Unbelievably so. I mean, they would call me an extreme MAGA Republican, even though I'm not a Republican. Why? I am pro-Trump. I like his style. I like his positions. I like his policy. And I've got grave doubts about the fairness of the 2020 election. Now, I'm not asking you for your opinion. I do want your opinion, though. When somebody like Hakeem Jeffries says that, and this guy is a powerful man in Congress, what does that say about our national priorities? And if I may, what do you think the number one threat is to America?
To federal agents that in the various agencies, they say this is a myth. If in fact it were going on, wouldn't we be seeing arrests? Wouldn't it mean that lots of investigations are ongoing? Wouldn't there be leaks to newspapers? Wouldn't there be, agencies telling you the great job that they're doing? There is no arrest of these people. Is it a concern? Sure, but on what magnitude? I mean, it doesn't seem to have much effect anywhere, yet people are continuing to say that. Even the director of the FBI said it was a major threat in this country. I mean, anybody I spoke to, they kind of laugh at it in terms of people who are in the federal government. It's just it's simply not the case, but they're beating this drum for political purposes.
Hey, there are a few people in the world, in my opinion, who know sports like you do. Your knowledge is encyclopedic, and you've been a big sports fan your whole life. You played football in high school. Can I just get your thoughts on Bill Russell dying, age of 89? What kind of player was he? What are your thoughts on his passing?
Yeah, he was amazing. He changed the game as far as defense is concerned. He was a center. He wasn't that big as a big people go, but he had tremendous coordination. He controlled the center of the court. And his power was almost totally in defense. And he was so impressive. And he had great longevity. I mean, he was the Celtics. I don't know how long it was, maybe 12 years. But, he would play against Wilt Chamberlain, who was significantly bigger than he was, not only in height, but in girth. Chamberlain once scored 100 points. And Russell was very effective against him. So, Yeah, he was a transitional player, and he changed, I think, changed the game where the focus became defense. You know, you can win with defense, and it never really was talked that much about before Bill Russell, at least in my recollection.
Wow.
He was a game changer.
Game changer indeed. And how did you get so good at sports, by the way? You name it, you got a question. I mean, I've heard this from people who know sports better than I do. I mean, and I don't know that. I mean, you know, you could be on WFAN. You could be on ESPN. How did you pick it up? Just by watching? How do you pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, watching and playing. I love sports. You know, I love football, but I never was able to you know, play on a higher level. But, I just was interested in it. I read the back of the newspaper, not just the front of the newspaper. I remember doing that. My father would bring home, like, the Telegram or the Journal of America, and I would, read the sports pages. And even in those days, they had box scores. So I think I became interested probably about when I was 11 or 12 years of age. And I still am today. I still definitely read the sports pages every day.
And the only person I know who knows sports like you, Curtis Sliwa, our own Curtis Sliwa.
He was great. Super Sports Spectacular. He had a radio show, Super Sports Spectacular. And he was terrific on it. But, that definitely is a while ago. He knows his stuff, that's for sure.
Well, Ray Kelly, who knows the front of the newspaper and the back of the newspaper, and we appreciate it. Thanks, Dad, very much.
Thanks, pal. Thank you.
Okay, all right. We'll talk soon, and we'll be right back.